Welcome, you guys. My name is Chloe Ballatore. I'm a communication and relationship expert. I'm a graduate of Princeton University and Pat Allen's Want Institute. And I use the tools of androgynous semantic realignment, which is a modality that was created by my mentor, Pat Allen. I use the tools of transactional analysis, which was created by Eric Byrne. And I use tools that I've created myself because I've been doing this work for over a decade now. I've also written four books about this work, and those are all available on Amazon if you guys want to check that out. The first book is How to Live, Find Love, and Keep It. And that has all the basics of this work in there. My last book is Daddy Issues, Mommy Issues. And I go really deep in there. And the other books are great too. My second book, New Ways of Being, The Pain of Change, really explores what happens when we start making changes in our life, especially when we start making changes for the better, because I think it's very unexpected sometimes that we start going through pain when we're trying to improve things in our lives and we're making positive changes. But the brain rewires itself on pain. And so it's very important to understand that. My other book is What is Love? Secrets to a Good Marriage. I've been married over 20 years now. I found this work when I was about halfway through, and it changed my life, and it has changed the lives of thousands of other people that I have witnessed, either by working with directly or when I was working with Dr. Pat. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start with telling you guys about the principles and the scholarship that gird this work, that are kind of underlie this work. And then I'm going to take your questions. So most of the time is going to be spent on your questions. The first part's only going to take me about 10 minutes. Now, this scholarship is very established, scientific and psychological principles that we have already been vetted, okay? But what's unique about the work that I teach is that the tools to execute on this scholarship, a lot of times we get into therapy or we go to therapy or some other healing modality, to see changes in our lives because we're unhappy. And much of the time, traditional mode of therapy, especially, it's great, it's a sounding board. We get our feelings and our thoughts reflected. We get a chance to vent, but we don't necessarily get tools that will change our lives. And so this work is really about change, and it's really about seeing results. That's really what got me into it, as I saw an incredible transformation in a friend of mine. And she went from being a very young single mom, always struggling, to starting her own business, really making millions of dollars, marrying the guy of her dreams. I mean, it was pretty incredible in about the space of 3 years. And oftentimes with this work, you will see results very quickly. That's what drew me in. And if it's your first night tonight and you don't quite understand everything, don't worry. It takes a lot of repetition. I know for me, I didn't understand everything, but something resonated and I heard something true that made sense to me. And so I stuck with it. In addition to doing these groups on Meetup, I also teach this work a few times a year in smaller, more intense groups. And that's the link for module packages. Okay. So when we talk about relationships, specifically about successful relationships, what we're talking about is the balance of energy, of complementary energies, yin and yang. You can call it feminine and masculine, but complementary energies, with complementary with an E, really provides the best foundation for romantic relationships because it averts power struggles. We can have struggles for the masculine energy, which is the yang energy, and that's a struggle for power or control, right? We can have struggles for feminine energy, which is the yin energy, and that's a struggle for sympathy or tears, guilt, okay? But what I teach is negotiating with love, which means one person gets their feelings cherished and the other person gets their thoughts respected in a given moment. Everybody wants both, right? Everybody wants their feelings cherished and wants their thoughts respected. But if you go for both in the same moment, then one person has to be a zero and the other person has to be a 10. And sometimes it might flip, but you're not getting that complementary energy going. These tools really come into play when we have conflicts or awkward situations. You don't have to be doing this all the time, although an awareness of these dynamics really will give you an edge because everything is sort of organized on this planet around duality, right? We have pain and pleasure, we have giving and receiving, we have day and night, we have black and white, and all the degrees in between, which are connoted by the swoop in the yin yang symbol. So, what we're looking for in relationships is this balance of complementary energies, masculine and feminine. And again, this is scholarship, yin and yang, that's thousands of years old, right? At least 2,000 years old. But we also have more recent scholarship that have been. Studies that have been done on the brain of newts that have proven definitively that we all of us have that right side of the brain that's more feminine, that's the seat of feelings, of passive patience, vulnerability. This is creative energy, sensual, sexual, non-linear thought. Feminine energy is very much in the world to make it fun, but it's not of the world. And then all of us have that left brain, which is the yang energy or the masculine energy that is more single-minded, is the world of thoughts. This is competing, conquering, and controlling. This is giving, taking care of. Most of us are in our masculine energy when we're at work. Right? Because that's all about doing and achieving. But some of us then want to switch into our feminine energy when we're in our intimate relationships. So I help people do that, especially high achieving women. And we live in a very masculinized world in which achievements and work and money, these things are valued almost at the expense of a lot of feminine qualities. And so it takes a little finessing sometimes to make that switch into your personal life, especially if you're an alpha, which means you have a strong feminine side and you have a strong masculine side. Now, when we talk about problems in relationships, what we're usually talking about is childhood trauma and the effects of the things that happened to us between 0 to 12, whether that was with a trauma with a big T or a small T doesn't matter as much in this context, but anything that separated you from your innocence that happens in that critical window between 0 to 12, those are the things that end up having the deepest effects on us simply because of the time in which they occurred. And because we're so vulnerable as human children. And so oftentimes when we're small, we have to sacrifice our authenticity in order to attach to the people that own the refrigerator and take care of us. In later life, we no longer have to do that because once we're adults, we can take care of ourselves. But oftentimes we take the strategies that we learned in childhood. And we think that they are existential truths, but they're really just strategies of the moment. And we take them into our adult lives. And when we use them in our intimate relationships, which is where they usually show up first, they tend to sabotage them. So we find ourselves in a pattern that doesn't serve us. And oftentimes it's an unconscious or subconscious pattern. So we go out, for example, trying like hell not to marry our fathers or to date our mothers or whatever it is. But the unconscious mind will figure out a way to do it if there is unprocessed trauma or pain. And so that's why a lot of people find themselves in patterns that don't serve them, but they don't know necessarily how to stop them. Why? Because familiar patterns are comforting to us. This is a concept known as the repetition compulsion. This is part of Freud's work and also Alice Miller. But it basically states that we're doomed to repeat that which we don't understand and that which is familiar to us. And those things that are familiar to us often bring us comfort, but they don't bring us joy and they won't bring us fulfillment. So I help people unwrap those scripts, those negative childhood scripts that are getting in the way of getting what they want. That's really what this work is about uncovering what you want and then finding the way to get it. So that's what your questions, even if they're not about dating and relationships, that's I can answer questions that are in other spheres simply because these principles radiate out through all of life. But my specialty is dating and relationships. So that's the background of this work. Now I'm going to open it up to questions. If you have a question, you can raise your hand, you can put it into the chat. Fortunately, Raul's not here. You could get Raul's attention if he was here. Okay. Wendy.
Hello.
Hi, Wendy. How can I help you?
Good. I'm so glad I get to talk to you tonight. Unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to be able to stay, but so I'm supposed to meet the Los Angeles guy tomorrow, potentially. Well,
Finally.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Why?
Today, I guess, is the last of the third Jewish holiday. It could be that he's all tied up, but so yesterday morning he sent his usual, hello, beautiful greeting, and he never sticks around. Like if I write back, he doesn't write back for hours or at all. So it's a little bit
Is
weird.
he at
Anyway,
work? Does he have like a regular?
yes, he's a
Oh.
fundraiser. It's like a big time job, and he's
Okay.
apparently quite busy. He did tell me that if, we were the right match, he could cut back working as much as he wanted and could work from anywhere. But I don't think that's something that he can just do,
Right,
right
at the
away.
spur of the moment.
Right. But anyway, so remember there were like three times he was going to come before that didn't work. And then he sent me a little greeting. And so I wrote back, "Hi, enjoy your holiday. Yes, you can call me anytime. Could you let me know today if Friday is a go and what time so I can plan around this? That would help me a lot. Thank you." So I didn't hear from him. Yeah, that was 10 in the morning yesterday. I didn't hear from him. He didn't give his usual greeting this morning. And then at 1:15, he says, "Hi, Wendy." That's it. And I wrote back immediately, I said, "Hi." No acknowledgement of my request to update. And yeah.
Okay. So are you sick of making these plans, or
Well,
you want to keep trying?
the thing is that I feel really glad for the opportunity. I've changed so much with kind of letting these things roll off my back and just be patient and kind. And it didn't bother me in the beginning because sounded like really good excuses that came up. And it was devastating for me to be home alone on those days. But that's not because of him. It's just, that's just the thing I go through kind of all the time.
Right.
But so it was very disappointing, but I didn't feel too upset with him. But now I feel angry. And
Right.
what I really want is not to blow him off. I really want healing. I want to know. It's hard for me to tell if this is just my trigger or if I'm accurate that this is really rude. And I would like to hear his point of view. Like, are you aware of what you're doing? Do you see this as being really inconsiderate to someone? Don't you think it's inconsiderate?
Well, first of all, he knows it's inconsiderate because he's already said things and made excuses in the past, right? So if it wasn't inconsiderate, then he wouldn't have had to make those excuses.
Well, they weren't excuses. One of his kids was sick. He has five kids, and then his phone broke, so he didn't have his GPS. They were
Okay, right. Yeah, I mean, it's
seemingly.
not, I don't like to pass judgment in the sense like, oh, that was inconsiderate or that was. The point is, it's making you feel bad. And the point is, he's not showing up. You know, whether we call it inconsiderate or unkind or flaky, it doesn't really matter. It's just that he's not able to keep commitments to you.
But I don't understand it because he's so into me, like way more than I'm into him. He's just like, I mean, he's already kind of
But he's
decided
not, because
on
he's not
himself.
showing up. He's a good texter. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, because, and that's what, you know, that's where the rubber hits the road is really with the actions, right?
Yeah.
Words are nice and they're great. And I love to hear a bunch of flowery words too, but it doesn't really mean anything if it's not followed up with action. And now you guys have been talking for what? How long?
I thought it was 2 months. It's really 6 weeks.
6 weeks is pretty long time to not be able to get a meeting going, right? And it sounds like you're pissed off, and it sounds like you're kind of done. And you and I talked about this before. You know, I recommend no more than 2 weeks because now you're kind of attached to this, getting this guy's texts every day, you know? And he's, but you don't even know him because you haven't met in person. Until you meet in person, you don't even know if there's chemistry. So that's why I always like people to meet in person at the very longest within 2 weeks of talking on the app. I know this was different because he lives in a different city and it takes a little bit more planning, but now it's been 6 weeks and he can't even respond. What is he waiting for something better to happen? I mean, to me, I don't think you need another explanation. His behavior tells it all.
But I don't want to end up angry. I would like to have compassion. I mean, maybe he's not the right person. Maybe I'm disappointed enough that I don't want to go out with him anymore, but I would like to hear his side. Like, what are you thinking, you know?
Well,
Is
isn't
that
he going to say something similar to what he said before? People are patterns.
My guess is he would apologize profusely.
And does
But I
that
don't.
matter? I mean,
No, I don't want the apology so much. I want to know. I really want to know what is he thinking?
well, it, I don't know. I don't think you're going to be able to get that answer.
Could I try? What would be an appropriate feminine way to try?
I mean, you've already sent a message and he didn't respond. You can't force people into responding to you. You can't force them into showing up.
I'm guessing he's going to write late tonight or tomorrow morning and say, "So sorry, beautiful, you know, this and this," and something like that. And that, could
I
I
mean, you
that?
can by all means like interrogate him about it. I just don't think you're going to get any answer that it will be meaningful. Like you say, I just want an answer, but what kind, why? What kind of answer?
Maybe he's like, gosh, I really didn't realize how inconvenient that is for you. I'm used to just doing things on the spur of the moment. Maybe it's more like that, or maybe it's like, well, on this high holy day, we're not supposed to use our cell phones, or that seems kind of ridiculous, but or maybe he's, I don't know. I don't know. I mean,
I don't understand why you want to hear another excuse. I just don't. He's
yeah.
already shown he's not showing up. If he wants to see you, he can show up. Otherwise, why bother talking to him? You're just wasting time. You're wasting valuable time and energy that you could be focusing on yourself or meeting somebody else.
Well, not really. I mean, I'm still, you know, talking to other people.
Right. I just don't think it's great for your self-esteem either.
Huh.
You know, you don't want to be chasing after a guy. That's not feminine at all. And you've already
Yeah.
reached out. You know, if he reaches out and has some explanation, I mean, I guess you can ask him, but you're just, then what? So then he'll say a bunch of things and then, do you see what I'm saying? I'm trying
Yeah.
to get to what do you actually want to have happen? Because I think what you want to have happen is for him to show up and for you guys to meet and fall in love, right? I mean, ideally, this is
No,
what
not
you want.
necessarily, actually. I mean, it's more like
Right. But for him to at least to show up and he's not able to do that.
you mean just be present, not
Yeah,
necessarily.
just show up like for the plan. Like be normal. Are you coming? Yes or no? I mean, you know me, I don't think. I prefer you don't reach out and ask if he's coming because we're going to see if he's coming or not. You set your own deadline.
Yeah, I
Some
know.
of
I
these
know.
little things are just bad for your self-esteem. And for you to keep chasing this guy is not building confidence. That's all. I just think it's a fool's errand to get closure with someone like that. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like I'm still gonna wanna know, but I'll just let it
Okay.
go
I
for
mean,
now.
you can pursue it, but I'm just saying, I just don't know where that's going to lead.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
It's going to have a different result. You're welcome. I know it's hard to hear sometimes, but it's better than wasting, more time with stuff that's not possible. Okay. Elizabeth.
Hi, Chloe.
Hi. How are you? How can I help you?
I have a question. So I understand, like the concept of yin and yang and, everything you explained. My question is, so I'm in my 40s right now, but, most of my friends, they got married straight out of college. Like maybe they dated 1 or 2 years and boom, they were married. Now I can't say they're still married to that person now. Like I'd have to follow up with each of them. But I guess my question is, I am having a hard time with the men that are my age, right? Because the thing is, I feel like, at least my experience has been, even if they're in their masculine energy, right, they are kind of projecting onto me the things that didn't work out from their ex. So let's say there's a guy who had an ex who was a gold digger. Well, then he's looking at me like, well, she wants the same thing. And I don't, like, I have my own career, my own thing going.
They're
Um,
like sensitized to certain
yeah, yeah.
fears.
Or if they feel like they didn't trust their ex, then, they have trust issues and then they don't believe anything I say or do, So I just feel like, it's just that much harder now, And, in your 20s, it's easier because nobody has that string of history,
But
behind
they
them.
still have their
So.
childhood trauma and they're still unconscious. I mean, look, there's good things about dating at any age, and everything, every catastrophe has a silver lining and every victory has a shadow. So the good things about dating an older guy who's maybe already been through a divorce is that he knows more. He has the opportunity of knowing more about himself, about what he wants, what he doesn't want. The downside of it can be that he's will be quicker to see behaviors as red flags, right? So the attention span, the patience might be shorter because he's already been through a divorce and he already knows more. Right. So you might not get as much of a benefit of the doubt, which is what you're saying, because if he sees something, he's gonna know that's not acceptable. Like, for example, I'm working with somebody right now, and she is dating a guy who's divorced, and he is very quick to let her know when she is showing him disrespect. And it's hard. It's been hard for her. I don't know if they're going to make it because she's not, she, I'm not sure if she's going to be able to show him the respect that he requires, because she's got her own issues. So she's younger. So that's the downside. When you're younger, you kind of have more issues, right? Hopefully, as you get older, you're working on yourself. Now, on the other hand, some people, as they get older, not working on themselves, and so their issues are getting worse. So I think it really depends on the person, and I would be hesitant to sweep to make too broad of a brush stroke about, like, all older men or all younger men. I think there's advantages and disadvantages at any age.
Okay. But the yang and yin energy, everything that you said, that holds true, right? Regardless of the age bracket or whatever, right?
Well, yes, but as we get older, we experience hormone drop-offs, right? Women go through menopause, men go through andropause. And so after you men and women, starting at probably around the age of 45, 50, women tend to become more masculine because our estrogen drops off, and men tend to become more feminine because their testosterone drops off a little bit. And so it may take a little bit more finessing as you get older. It's not that you can't still be a feminine woman and he still can't be a masculine man, but you may need to use the tools a little bit more. And then, you may also need to make allowances for the fact that he's becoming older and perhaps softer, and he's going to want his ch feelings cherished a little more. So sometimes I'll tell a couple if they're really, really down the middle like that. If he starts with a feeling, then you respond with a thought. And if he starts with a thought, then you respond with a feeling, so you keep that. You still keep the complimentary communication going when you have conflicts and awkward situations, but that allows you a little bit more flexibility.
Okay.
Does that make
But
sense?
yeah, it makes sense. And the last thing was the thing with the chasing, like how the thing you were telling Wendy.
Yeah.
So at least that initial part, can that still apply to this? Like,
Yes,
even
absolutely.
okay.
I mean, and there's little tricks I can tell you, to get a man to nose to nudge a man more into his masculine. And if you were a man, I would tell you things that where you can nudge a woman more into her feminine. If he tells you about his feelings, ask about his thoughts. That's one way. But yeah, in general, he who talks first is masculine. So especially during the courting, the masculine energy is going to be doing the asking out, right? And the planning of the date and the pursuing and the chasing.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. Thanks for your questions. Okay. Ryan.
Hello, Chloe.
Hi, Ryan. How are you? How can I help you?
Well, I'm doing good. It's actually been a while. I've been on one of your previous podcasts, I think about a year and a half ago.
Oh, has it been that long? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Thanks. Well, I've been trying to work on myself. I'm trying to eat right and I'm trying to get back into the gym. And I'm trying to got some pointers about meeting girls. I've been a I don't really have a trying to build confidence, and I don't have a problem with trying to approach women, trying to start a conversation with women. But the problem is I often ask myself, will I see them again? Because seeing a woman multiple times is the key to helping build trust and begin to start a relationship. So, do
Right.
you have any advice for that?
Yeah. Okay. So is that what you're struggling with? You like go out on one date and then you can't like get a second date going or what?
No, I've never been on a date before. I'm trying to like meet a well one single woman multiple times, and that could lead to a date.
Okay. So have I told you about the five flirts before?
Yeah, I remember the five flirts.
Have you been doing them?
Yeah, I've been doing them. Smile, stare into her eyes, and then introduce them, that sort of thing.
If they respond, you give them
Yeah.
5 seconds of eye contact with a smile, and if they respond, that's your signal you can approach. Like if they return it with 5 seconds of eye contact and a smile.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Then that's your sign you can approach. And then you can start up a conversation from there. Has
Yeah.
so have you been doing that, and have you met anyone from doing that?
Well, the problem is I'm a little hesitant on doing that because I want to know if I'll ever see her again.
Well, there's no way to know that beforehand, right? Unless you
Right.
can tell the future. I mean, most humans can't, right?
Right.
Or we tend to be really wrong when we try. The key is kind of like you have to just do what you go for it, do what you think is right, do the right thing, put yourself out there, and then you see what happens. Then you let the chips fall where they may. Reward yourself for making the effort, not for the result of the effort, because the result of the effort you can't control. You don't know if a woman's gonna like you. You don't know if a woman, if you go out on a date. I'm working with a guy right now who's actually going through what I thought you were saying, which is he's going on a lot of first dates, but he's not going on a lot of second and third dates. So he's trying to get to that next level. But especially with relationships, life can be very unpredictable. the best way you can tell if you especially when you're first meeting them, if they're interested is with that eye contact and smile. And then, see if you can get a conversation going, especially if you do the seated flirt and you keep going to the same place over and over again, week after week, people there will get to know you and you will get to know other people. Now, if you want to get to know somebody first before asking them out, you kind of have to do that as part of a community, right? That's why people like oftentimes relationships start from people who work together because you get to know somebody in an environment where you can see them in a lot of different situations, but you don't have the pressure of dating. And so if you can get to know women in your workplace, you can get to know women if you join a pickleball league, if you keep going to the same Sierra Club hike. I have a client who loves to go to karaoke. He does a lot of the karaoke's meetups. And he meets people that way. So if you want to first to get to know them, then you gotta do that through like a group situation. You know what I'm
Actually,
saying? Like,
going back to the gym, and I'm going to ask one of the staff members if they have like trainers or a fitness group.
yeah, that's an idea. That's definitely an idea, a good idea. The gym can kind of go either way because sometimes people are really, in there for business, like they're just trying to get their workout in. But it's possible. Even if you just went to the same yoga class week after week, you might start getting to know somebody, So
Okay.
if you want to do it that way, see where your interests lead you. Pick a spot where you like the women that go there. You like all the girls in this yoga class, or you like the girls in the Sierra Club hike, or whatever, or in the aerobics class at the gym, or whatever it is. One of my clients just joined a running club, and he's trying to meet a woman there. I have a female client who's learning how to play golf now to meet a man at the golf course. Pick one of those things because you'll be enjoying yourself anyways, and then you'll have some degree of compatibility with the other person because they're enjoy, they have a similar interest.
Okay.
Okay, report back and let me know how it goes.
Got it.
Thanks for your question. So, you guys, I'd love to hear your updates in addition to getting your questions because it's really cool to hear how you guys are using these tools out in the field. Okay, Zara has asked this question in the chat, and I'm going to answer it quickly. And then, Scott, I'll get to your question. Can you please explain the five flirts? It's my first time here. Okay, so the five flirts is one of the cornerstones of this work. And it's if you're single and you're trying to meet someone, I always recommend try in person. Don't just lean on the apps. Five flirts means you're going to be flirting 5 days a week. Four of those flirts will be just in the course of your day. So if you're walking your dog, if you're shopping for groceries, if you're paying your bill at the phone company in person, or whatever it is you're doing, if you see somebody that catches your eye, give them 5 seconds of eye contact with a smile at the same time. That is if you're a woman or feminine energy person. The signal to the other person that they can approach. If you're a masculine energy person, you're sending out that signal so that if it's returned, you can approach. Okay. If you approach without getting the eye contact or the smile, that's when women start to think like, hey, what the hell's happening here? This is creepy. Okay. So really try to get that eye contact and smile first. One day a week, you're going to plant yourself somewhere, like I was telling Ryan. So it's like you might go to the golf course, you might go to the fire station by, I mean, the Starbucks by the fire station. That was somewhere that I used to go. You might go get a dog and go to the dog park, but wherever it is, hotel bar. Go where you like the people that go there and plant yourself 45 minutes to an hour. Go alone and do that way. You're doing your eye contact and smile. Somebody has a chance to sit down with you. You can have a little conversation. You can make a little more headway that way. Okay, so those are the basic five flirts, and you will meet people that way. Scott.
Yes, Scott, here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hi, welcome. How can I help you?
Yes, Chloe, I think I know the answer to this question, and it's maybe an enviable situation to be in, but I kind of want a second opinion of someone
Yeah,
other than
shoot.
myself. So how do I figure out, probably by asking, but when maybe do I ask how the sexual dynamic will work out between myself and my partner? And I say that because I've had some bad experiences where my wife was only interested basically in like a Puritan procreative type sex, and that manifested in problems later, obviously, and a divorce. But and then I find a dating a woman where she is way unmatched, where I just don't have any sleep, kind of thing. So, yeah, it's a nice problem to have, but where do we have a conversation? And I don't want to just jump in bed with, a woman and figure out, oh man, we're way wrong, right? That's probably not the time to figure it out that we're not matched well. The chemistry could be there, but like a pace of things. You with me?
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. And this is actually a really common problem because think about it. It's pretty unusual to have the exact same libido as your partner, right? Like, usually one person wants it more than the other. That's just the way that it goes. And again, that can change through time and with hormonal drop-offs, and the like. What's important is, and I don't, I'm not a huge fan of casual sex. I mean, I do of casual intercourse because oftentimes women get bonded from intercourse, and that you can be bonded then to somebody that even you know isn't good for you. So if you do engage in casual intercourse, then it's good to let the other person know that it's casual, that you're not looking for a relationship. Now, if you are looking for a relationship, a lot of people get into relationships when the question of intercourse comes up, right? So how am I going to, how are we going to end up, we're hanging out, we're fooling around, blah, blah, blah. Let's have intercourse. Well, that usually dovetails or often dovetails with a discussion of what you guys want out of the relationship. And like you said, chemistry is not enough. A successful relationship needs chemistry, which is a gift from God. You either have it or you don't, for the most part. Compatibility, which means do you want the same things? And is one of you willing to be in the feminine and one of you willing to be in the masculine? Are you compatible in that way? Do you have the complementary energies? And a lot of times that also means like one person's strengths is the other person's weaknesses and vice versa, right? Because you can help each other that way. And finally, communication, and that's what we can really work on the most. So those three C's is really are really the foundation of any successful relationship: chemistry, compatibility, and communication. I would say probably my advice is to hold off on the intercourse until you have gotten to know the other person, to a point where you think that a relationship might be in the cards, where you want that, where you want to take that person off the table, off the apps, where you want to see that person exclusively, continuously, where you guys both are headed into, a long-term relationship headed towards marriage or not headed towards marriage. It doesn't have to be headed towards marriage. But once you get to that point, that's kind of when usually you evaluate the intercourse. And look, in relationships, there's four major areas of negotiation, and one of them is play, sexual and non-sexual. So if you're in the relationship and you're starting out, and it's too much for you, or it's too little for you, that's when you can negotiate, right? And I have a rubric that I use for negotiation. It's called the Stroke and Stand. It's in my first book. But if that does come up for you, I can help walk you through what that conversation would be like, so that you make sure that you're taken care of and she's taken care of, right? I talked at the beginning about negotiating with love. And so in your relationship, you need to negotiate the play, sexual and non-sexual, money, time, and space. Those are the four main areas. And when I work with couples, we really plot those out on a sheet. You don't necessarily have to address everything at once, but certainly if you like the person, you start having intercourse with the person, you find that there's an issue there, that's when I would begin a negotiation. Does that make sense?
Yes, can you hear me, Chloe?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Sorry. Kind of a corollary to that, it does make sense, the negotiating part. A corollary question. It's sensitive, but so how much time should I commit to the other person? For example, I mean, in the bedroom. For example, my brother's like, in 30 minutes, if you haven't figured out how to press her buttons, one of the two of you is doing something wrong. And you gotta move on. So I don't know if there's a time where you gotta, once you've committed to the relationship and you've gone into the bedroom, like, you know, things aren't working or they are very quickly within 30 minutes or whatever.
I think that might be a little quick, you know. Sometimes it takes people a minute to relax, get to know each other's bodies, get to know each other's preferences, what turns each other on. Certainly, as we get older, it becomes a little bit more complex than when you're just young and all your hormones are like bursting and you'll pretty much have intercourse with almost anyone, right? So no, I don't think. No, 30 minutes. I think that's too hasty. I think that's too hasty. You know, I think try it out, see how it goes over a period of time. You know, if you really like the person, you'll want to put that time in. 30 minutes is not enough time. I would say at least 2 months. Does that help?
Yes, thank you so much, Chloe. I do
Okay.
appreciate it.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay, yeah, that's too high of an expectation. Okay, Rose. Hi, Rose. How can I help you?
Hi. Sorry, I was trying to unmute.
That's
So
okay.
I usually listen to your speech and then others' questions and comments, and then I have questions. I have something to ask about.
Yes, please do.
So, first, you're talking about feminism and masculinism after people getting older. And I
Yes.
do notice that my ex changed his masculine to feminism more because one of the example, it's possible he's just tired of the relationship, but he, a few years ago, he was saying, and at that time, it's between 45 to 50 is exactly the same age you were talking about. And he was saying, I'm tired of helping you do these things. For example, change car tires or car wash, those masculine things,
Right.
right? So he's tired of doing the things and want me to do that. I was in the attitude that I'm not willing to do that, but I can do it if he's not going to do it. But anyway, I noticed the difference. I soon to be ex, we're in the process of divorce because he's cheating. So if in the future relationship, when I see a man, do I at this age, do I offer to help more or just wait till the other person to tell me he doesn't want to do this? How about you do that kind of things? Because at this age, which is between 45 or 55, the masculine and feminism are different now. Or I still try to be, because to me, I think feminism. So do I still be myself
And
or do I
don't,
try to
no, then
offer
don't,
more?
no. Don't offer help. If he asks for help,
Okay.
you can decide if you want to give it. But if you still want to be in the feminine energy, don't come in with your your monkey wrench in the spare tire.
No, not a tire, but other things. For example, helping to carry something, maybe, or even the door, I can push
Really,
it
just wait for
myself.
him to ask.
Okay.
Because a really masculine man is going to find that emasculating. He's going to find that
Okay.
competitive. You know?
Understand. Yeah, that's what I want to wait, but because the experience with my ex who was complaining, he said, I don't want to do this anymore. You do it yourself.
You're kind of
But
going in and out. I can't, it's hard for me to hear you.
maybe sometimes men just doesn't want. Oh, I was saying my ex, because my experience with my ex, are you able to hear me? And he was complaining, or he doesn't want to help anymore. Thinking, oh, maybe men at this age, they just, especially if they have divorced already, they had a bad experience, they may not want to do that anymore.
I mean, it happens, you know, and it's definitely a good dynamic to be aware of. But I wouldn't give up hope in finding a masculine man. You can still be able to do
Good. Good. Because I don't like men to be feminist. I
Yeah.
like masculine
Oh, yeah. Yes. Good.
men.
That's more compatible with you.
Good. Another thing is what men Wendy was asking. I really want to know what he was thinking. I
Right.
understand that because I also met a person before and he still keep talking, but the time we met each other, in the beginning, we met each other once a week and then once a month and then once every 2 months. Now it's once every 3 months. I was thinking, what was he thinking? Does he really still want to keep the relationship? This
Well, that's a little
is
bit of a different situation because you guys have actually met. Wendy hasn't even met this person. You know?
so yeah, I think I understand she may not want to know the excuse. She may want to know exactly what is he trying to do here.
Right. And sometimes, you know, sometimes people are lying. Sometimes they don't know what they're doing. Sometimes they're acting unconsciously. Sometimes they're keeping you on the line. So, but they're putting in minimum effort, but they're exploring other options. So ultimately, examining another person's perhaps motivations in a situation like that, it just doesn't go anywhere. It's just a spiral of negative thought. It's never gonna, you're not gonna come up with any like epiphany. Oh, he did this, unless information is offered later. You know what I'm saying? So it's better to just to focus on you and managing yourself and understanding what you're willing to put up with, what you want to accept, what kind of behavior, what kind of relationship you want to spend time nurturing, rather than trying to change or manipulate or control another person. I mean, in this context, especially when the person is pulling away, there's only so much you can do, you know? You either
True.
accept or reject. We don't tolerate. So you're not going to be trying to change the other person. If the other person is pulling away, of course, you know, you're in a situation where you were seeing somebody once a week. Now it's once every 3 months. You could schedule a time to discuss that with this person. What happened? Where'd you go? That
He
would
was
totally.
saying so busy. I was thinking you were. He said busy with kids, busy to find another job, busy at his 77 ceremony. I was thinking, yeah, the same number of children as before. Whatever you're doing is the same as before. Obviously, you just don't want to make the effort to see more often.
Right. And so that's where it's like, look, are you willing to accept him at once every 3 months? Is it worth it to you? Or do you just
I was
not want to
thinking,
see him at all?
well, he's a funny guy to talk to, so I'm thinking, yeah, just as a regular friend, that's fine.
Okay.
I'm
But don't
not
let it
putting.
stop you from exploring other options.
That's another thing. Yeah, I'm not trying to stop, but I did stop myself from the dating app. I just looking at those pictures so many months now, or actually 1 or 2 months. I just don't have the feeling just looking at someone's picture and doing
Right.
a
It's very
discussion.
difficult. That's why, yeah. So, you don't need to
And
be in the apps, but maybe go out and do some more flirting. Do a karaoke night, do a Sierra Club hike. Try to give somebody 5 seconds of eye contact and a smile.
okay, I did the hiking, but I haven't seen anyone
No
that,
one yet.
anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, I see someone cute, but we don't have the eye contact
Oh,
for
he
more
didn't
than
do the
five
icon.
seconds yet.
Right. Okay.
So, or even I look at them, they didn't look back, so I haven't had that match yet. Yeah, so I do go out for hiking. I like sightseeing and traveling.
Oh, okay, good. Well, that's good because, there's all kinds of stuff. And I have a client who does bike trips in, Europe and hiking things and Asia, and there's all kinds of not even just singles trips, but there's vacations offered by universities that could be more scholarly, you would be more educational oriented, or you could, do a different thing that's more party oriented. So that's a good interest to have in terms of meeting people.
Okay, I did a travel a couple weeks ago, but I choose the wrong place. That's a place that usually people go to spend honeymoon there.
Oh,
So
okay.
I was the
Yeah,
only
that's
one
tough
there
when you
to be
go alone.
single.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird. But I also have a comment on the previous person that talked to you
Yes.
about the it's intercourse. I was thinking, because someone also asked me about that before, but even though after we met a few times, we never even hold hands or kiss yet. And he was interested in me, although we met a few times, and I wonder whether interesting sex. I was thinking at that time I didn't know why, but later I read something or listened to some podcast. I understand that it's because I didn't feel comfortable yet. We had chemistry, we had feeling. I like him, but I just couldn't do it at that time because we didn't even hold hands, didn't have that comfortable level yet. So I think for women, we need to feel comfortable before we are able to get on bed.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is getting that commitment first, but definitely
Yes, the
also
commitment as
feeling
well.
safe and protected and cherished. I have a client right
Yeah.
now who's trying to be a little more masculine, but the problem is he doesn't take control. Even in the most basic situations, like he doesn't make the first move, he doesn't open the door, he doesn't plan the date. So it's like these are like little subtle things that feminine women are put off by, and he keeps going out with masculine women because they'll make the first move and he doesn't have to make the first move. You understand? So it's like, I think when a man isn't doing some of those things, if he's not getting the door, if he's not planning the date, it's harder sometimes to feel safe and protected, right? Because your feelings aren't getting cherished. So look for somebody who cares about cherishing your feelings.
And also, how do I ask a person's love language in the beginning? Because think about that. You have to know the love language in order to be able to continue how to
Well,
cherish each
okay.
other or
The love
respect.
language thing is a little overblown. I'm not a huge fan of the love language thing just because of the way it's been used to like the kind of the way that you're expressing it. Like, oh, well, we have different love languages, so we're not compatible. I don't believe that. Yes, people express love in different ways, but just because you express love in different ways doesn't mean you're not compatible, you know?
But I want to know so I can give him that language. However, if in the beginning, how do I even start that
Well, you'll
conversation?
start to get clues. You'll start to observe.
Oh,
You know, definitely. You'll definitely start to observe. But it's not just about what he wants. It's also about what you want and what
oh,
your.
yeah. How do I tell him that
Right.
then?
Like for me, for example, I mean, if I was going strict by love language, you know, I like physical touch. I like time spent together, maybe not gift giving that much, you know, probably acts of service. But, you know, it's kind of an academic conversation. I don't find that it has much practical application. So I wouldn't get too hung up on that.
I thought I would need to know that person's love language so I can give
No,
that to
no, no.
him. Okay.
It's not it. The person that came up with that is not even a psychologist, or I mean, he's fine. I think he's a religious person. He's like a pastor or preacher or something. But they've been criticized a lot, and I just don't think they hold up as a practical tool as much as people think sometimes. I don't, you know. I just don't find them that useful in my work. I don't find that it helps people that much. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
You are welcome. Okay. I'm going to wrap it up now if we don't have any more questions. You can get a recording of this wherever you get your podcasts, also on YouTube. I'll put my credentials into the chat again. You can sign up for one of the packages. You can also look at the books. I won't be here next week because it's Halloween, but I will be here the week following up until Thanksgiving. And then this group's going to go on a break for the holidays, and I'll be back in 2025 after that. So I'll see you in 2 weeks if I don't hear from you before that. Have a good night.